Despite a great effort, the Braves fall short at March Madness, but we are not done yet. We are joined by a special guest today, that and much more tonight on Braves Talk. All right, everybody, Braves Nation, joined by the OG Rick, and we do have a special guest that we'll bring in here in a moment, but welcome to Braves Talk. As we said at the top, the Braves gave everything they had in the semifinals against the Bulldogs, who end up being the eventual Arch Madness Tournament champions, earning the auto bid to the NCAA Tournament. As you can see, we are absent. The Iceman tonight had some family conflicts he had to tend to, so bear with me. As we go through this, the production might be a little different than you're used to, as you noticed by the intro song, but I'm sure you Bradley fans can appreciate a little swing march. But first, Dad, how you doing tonight, and how you feeling about the Braves?
I'm doing pretty good and anxious and very hopeful and positive that we will get that all-encompassing NIT bid, since we can't go to the big dance. The little dance is just as good. So, but other than that, feeling great.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get to that as we get moving here. But Bradley fans, I'm sure this gentleman is no stranger to you. You have seen him on X, and we have a Bradley alum, Bradley Superfan, Bobby Hack. Bobby, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Obviously, a little disappointed over the past weekend, although it was always fun. The guys were competitive. But yeah, NIT, I'll take it from when I was in school. So it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I think we tend to take for granted right now. The last 5 or 6 years have been outstanding to as a Bradley fan, and I'm sure that you know some people have hopped on the bandwagon along the way, which is great. You know, the more the merrier. But to those of us who you know kind of suffered through, you know, the Geno Ford years, I mean, there were some dark days, especially there towards the end. And I've said before on the show that I started to have my doubts if Bradley could get back to this point, you know, if the attendance at the game should get back up to where it's been, and just the general interest in Peoria. So I'm super pumped to see that it has. And, you know, I think a good place to start too would be, you know, your journey as a Bradley fan, how you got introduced to Bradley basketball and how your fandom has grown.
Yeah. For sure. I think to start, I'm born and raised in Des Plaines, Illinois, so the Chicagoland area. Went to school at Main West High School, so nowhere, 2.5 hours north of Peoria, right? But high school, my counselor kind of turned me on. I'm actually a marketing major, but he turned me on to the sports comm program. So I went down and visited Bradley, fell in love with it, went there, enrolled in 2011. So I do remember the Sweet 16 season in 06, kind of as coming up as a young kid. Watching NCAA March Madness. So that was always kind of in the back of my mind. But yeah, I literally came in and left with Geno Ford. So 2011 to 2015. So it's pretty remarkable that kind of stuck through it all. I mean, I'm very passionate about sports, big Cubs, Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls fan. And obviously, Bradley's my school. So I loved every minute of it. And I told you guys before the show, but fun fact, I was the original Kaboom. I think you debuted in 2013, just kind of being a dumb kid in the student section. The cheer squad was like, all right, hey, do you want to try out for this? And I was like, sure. So that's kind of where it all started. I mean, obviously when I was there, the basketball team, let's be honest, they were not that good. I think we had one above 500 season my junior year or sophomore year at like 500, maybe 16 and 15 or something like that. And then we had the home game at Renaissance Coliseum. Against, I want to say Green Bay, if you guys remember that. I think Wardle might have even been coaching, which is nuts. So that's kind of weird. But, yeah, from there, I've just been hooked ever since. I followed him. And then, you know, once I left, coach came in, and I was like, all right, well, I can do another rebuild because my 4 years at school were essentially a rebuild. But a couple moments that stick out over my tenure was when Michigan came to town, right? I mean, that was incredible. I know he lost the game, but we hung tough. I mean, that team of like Walt Lemon Jr., Will Egolf, Jake Eastman, I think, God, these are names that will just come popping back into my head. But yeah, it was just cool to see. So I could tell that, you know, Peoria really rallied around not just Bradley, I should say, but Peoria as the city really rallied around Bradley as a whole. So I was hooked. I was going to be hooked no matter where I went to college, but I'm very, very happy, and I'd miss it every day, and I would do it all over again. I tell everybody, go to Bradley, and, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's I think here at Bradley, there's sort of an interesting cross-section between the community and, you know, the locals and the student body, because I feel like, you know, obviously you have alumni that remain fans of their teams wherever they go, but I feel like Bradley's the biggest show in Peoria, and I feel like Bradley's ingrained in the fabric of Peoria, maybe more so than other universities may be within the town that they reside in. And so I think that, you know, the obviously the student interest, just like the local interest, has sort of grown and waned with the success of the program. But it's super exciting to see more fans at the game, more students at the game, especially because that's what this program needs to keep building, are young fans, getting young people at the game, you know, letting them realize that this is quality basketball. So quality Division I basketball that's played at Bradley and played in the Valley. And I thought that was showcased on Saturday and Sunday at Arch Madness in every game that was played pretty much. And, you know, if there was ever a doubt that there's big time basketball played here, that should have removed it. And as far as the kaboom fact goes, that's something, man, that should warrant some Hall of Fame consideration.
No way. Road. God, so Bobby Parker ever watches this, he's probably just laughing. But yeah, no, I loved it. It was fun. I actually kind of hurt my knee a little bit doing it, but whatever, that's no big deal. But yeah, it was a good time. I mean, now I'm glad that, you know, I definitely pay attention to him, even like watching on TV or going to the games. I come down a couple times a year to try to go to a couple games. But now it seems like he kind of did a little dip in his performance, but this year he seemed like to be all over with his, like, they put gym shoes on him, which was a good call. He's running around out there. Twitter seemed to be a little bit more, X seemed to be a little bit more active, but yeah, I had some good times. I actually, really quick, fun story, as Kaboom, I went, if you guys remember, Walt Lemon Jr. was in that college dunk contest. Yeah. Go back, it's on YouTube. I was Kaboom holding the ball for him and everything. So I went down, flew down to Texas. I believe it's SMU's campus. So I have some great memories as Kaboom. And obviously, you know, not just basketball, but I'll go to all the other sports, baseball, softball, soccer, volleyball, everything.
Yeah, and that's exciting. And I think that you were right. This year, Kaboom was it was on another level, I thought. And yeah, I'm sure the gym shoes probably helped a lot when you got rid of those gargoyle feet.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was really, really impressed with, you know, the addition of the energy to the environment during game day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very, very much needed, some of that extra energy like this year. And, you know, hey, it's really cool stuff to meet the original Kaboom.
Yeah, the original student. Yeah, it's a do it. Yeah, you know, because we didn't have a mascot forever. So
right.
Well, I remember the days in the 90s, they had like a bobcat when I was a kid going to games. And it's like, it's not, there's no correlation to the university at all, at least not that I'm aware of. And so that was strange. And I mean, obviously they had to move away from any Native American depictions and stuff like that with everything going on. But yeah, Kaboom's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just be thankful, Bobby, that they didn't implement the flying squirrel. A lot of people, for one of the Peoria team's mascots, it's been a push for the flying squirrels.
Oh my God. I mean, I remember the whole time as a student, they were pulling us for years.
Yeah. You
know? So totally.
Yep.
Yep. Awesome. So, you know, you looked like you were at Arch Madness in St. Louis for the entirety of the tournament, right?
Yep.
And so it seemed like it was a great experience. I did see that you got to participate in like one of the timeout shooting contests.
Yeah.
Another thing I loved about that, right? It wasn't the Evansville and ISU game, right?
Yep.
So I believe. And you had the Evansville shirt on to troll our friends down the road in Normal. And you made all three, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I won. I didn't make all three in a row, but I made all three. I think I was like 3 for 4, 3 for 5. I was having a lot of fun during the day, as you can imagine. So when that game rolled around, I bought that shirt on Amazon. My cousin is a huge Evansville Aces fan, so I bought that shirt for him, and I brought it down to St. Louis once I was going to wear it during the Evansville game, no matter what. But when they were playing Illinois State, I was like, okay, this is like perfect. So I had my Bradley hat on and my Evansville t-shirt on to troll them. And then randomly, because, I mean, obviously that game Thursday night, decent crowd, but I mean, you know, obviously could have been better. I was front row wearing an Evansville shirt. And she's like, hey, do you want to be in the competition? I looked down. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm wearing this shirt. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? So it was fun. And I won this hat. That's what I won, was the Valley hat.
I was wondering what the prize was going to be. No, that was awesome. And and I mean, you had because you were on TV all the time, because you had great seats right behind the scores table. And I specifically remember in the semifinal game when they went over to for a monitor review late in the game. And you and your majestic lip sweater looked like they were trying to influence the officials a little bit there, which I just thought was fantastic. And but yeah, if you want to kind of, I'd love to hear about your experience at Arch Madness and kind of all the things you took in, and then kind of anything maybe that stood out to you throughout the weekend.
Yeah. So first things first, I love Arch Madness. I've been going, I think this is my sixth or seventh time going. I went a couple times as a student, took a couple years off, and now I go with couple of my older fraternity brothers, and I actually had my bachelor party down there last year with a bunch of my friends. So it's been awesome. Those seats are incredible. We have one of my older fraternity brothers has the hookup, so how could I deny those seats? They're fantastic, and every year they usually sit right behind the scores table, right? So this year they're right behind the review monitor, and that was fantastic. But yeah, I mean, you know, like every year, it's just fun to watch every single Valley game. I mean, like you said earlier, it's just, it is quality Division I basketball. I mean, everywhere you go, even on Thursday, you had some great, you know, great matchups between, I mean, the Evansville ISU game was good. The Missouri State, Murray State was good. So then obviously as you move towards the weekend, once you get to Friday, you get to a little bit more higher seeds, even more high quality. And I thought all those games are fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you to UIC just down the road from me right here. Thank you for winning on Thursday, making Friday a little bit easier on us Bradley fans. They put up a hell of a fight. Surprised they fired their coach. But, Bradley, I thought overall, obviously Saturday's disappointing, but I thought, you know, they showed up. They showed up to play. We got off to fast starts, which, I mean, listening to you guys, like that was a, probably all February, that was probably our biggest struggle in the first half, right? So Arch Madness is awesome. I can't wait to go back.
You talk about, I just want to real quickly talk about Saturday's game against Drake. Let's give a shout out to our third team all conference player, Connor Hickman, the only other team left that had a player. I mean, you had two from Indiana State and two from Drake, and then we had Connor Hickman make all tournament team. And just go quickly, 57 minutes in two games, 15 of 27 shooting, field goal, 9-16 from three-point land, that, you know, 56% on both. Now, he didn't get to the free throw line, but four times, you know, blame that on the Valley officials. You know, I don't know how you can drive to the basket as much as he does, gets pushed off his line and nothing called, but that's for another day. But 41 total points. So
yeah,
kudos to Connor Hickman.
Completely agree. And I told you guys before the show, I thought those are probably his two best games as a Brave. I mean, not that he's been bad really ever, but I thought just consistency, field goal percentage, he was lights out basically.
Right.
Yeah. So it was great to see.
Yeah. And what a time to have those two games. Right. And because we needed it. And we talked the last show before the tournament started about how we needed, you know, at least two of our main contributors to show up each game to get it done. And I could say that I really think that even in the Drake game where we came up short, I don't know that we could have played much better than we played. And I know that there were some mistakes, and especially, you know, there at the end of the game, but we held their two top scorers, their two best players, I'll say. I don't know, that's like top scorers, two best players at 21 points between DeVries and Brody. And I think it was 10 or 12 minutes into the game before DeVries even scored. And we kind of speculated, would the Braves come out and continue to play like team defense as they've traditionally done, or would, is this a time where you'd see them lock Mal down on DeVries? And that's what they did. And they subbed him out when Tucker got subbed out, and it seemed to work great. Now, maybe it took away Mal on the offensive end, which probably hurt a little bit, but we had other guys pick up the slack, got off to that fast start, like you said. And, you know, I guess maybe the difference, if you want to just generalize it, is, you know, letting them go on that run to get back in the game before the end of the first half. And from there, you know, it was just a battle the rest of the way. And despite some of the mistakes that were made, I mean, we had two or three looks in the last couple minutes to tie or take the lead. And, you know, they just didn't go down. And those are the breaks, and that's what happens. I don't have a problem saying that, you know, the better team won that day. I mean, Drake's really, really good. And, you know, we went out and gave it everything we had. And I thought, you know, there's nothing to hang your head about as a fan or as a player about that game, other than the fact that, you know, we came up short of the goal, right, to win an Arch Madness championship and get to the NCAA tournament. But other than that, I mean, we did everything we could have done to put ourselves in a position to get that win. And it just, you know, didn't work out that way. Curious kind of what your thoughts are on that game in particular, before we start talking about the season more in general.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, just being right there, basically, I mean, courtside, those guys gave it their all. And I've watched every single game this year. I thought it was to be honest, probably outside of like Utah State, that game, but like that was our best effort by far, up and down the hole. I mean, obviously there's going to be runs in college basketball. And when we were up, I think 12 at one point in the first half, people are texting me, oh, you're on TV. I was texting back. I was like, this game's far from over. Like, you know, Drake's going to make a run. They did. And I completely agree. I think at the end of the day, Drake just had the horses again. Not saying that our guys, they could have won that game. You know, if we played it again today. But I want to also give a shout out to Elmar Atlison. I mean, I thought he contributed great minutes, and even Birch on Friday more so, but Birch coming in on Saturday, because we got into some weird foul trouble too on Saturday. It felt like, I mean, you know, I'll never blame the officials for really a loss like that, but it just seemed like a little more ticky-tack fouls were called on Saturday. Kind of got a couple of our guys into some foul trouble. And I think Coach said in the post game that we're playing with a couple lineups out there that we're probably not used to, and guys responded. I mean, our bench, you know, we asked everything. Like, if we were to say, like, hey, our bench was going to score, I don't know if you have the stat, but bench is going to score X amount of points between CDL and DeMarion, we would have taken that all day. So, and I think they showed up, and I just, yeah, that's my thoughts from the game.
Yeah, what's been, you know, very visible, if you really pay attention, and one thing with the Wardle coach team is defense, the progress that both Al and the Marion Birch, you know, accomplished through the year from when they first came in and we saw them to now. I even mentioned to Brad, you know, about Birch. I mean, there was a time it seemed like most of the season he was just getting burnt, you know, on someone driving to the basket, you know, just getting blown right by. Yeah. And this weekend, both games, I mean, it was like a very conscious effort on his part to not let that happen. You know, I mean, his footwork was so much better, got more in front of the guy driving to the hoop, basically changed that guy's course without fouling. You know, and I thought that was such a, you know, a very telling sign in the progress that he has made. And Atlison the same way. And I think so much with Atlison that it may have affected his shooting a little, but he can get that back. You know, I expect him next year to come in, and, you know, hopefully we have everybody come back. But that's a story for another day as well. Yeah. But, you know, because we'll be right back in it. If everybody comes back, there's no question with who we've already got committed to come in, and then some speculation on who will. So,
and I think a lot of credit goes to the coaching staff for getting those guys, you know, the improvement that happened on defense. And with me not being you know, super well versed in the, you know, schematics and whatnot of fundamentals of basketball, especially defensively, I have to assume kind of, especially on DeMarion's side of things, it was probably just improving his discipline. He in high school, I imagine he was probably able to get in people's face and disrupt them and create turnovers. And here, these guys, you know, they're better. And, you know, he had to learn how to play a little bit more disciplined on defense and not probably overreact to different moves and ball fakes and things of that sort. And it seemed like he really improved at that. And I do think early in the season too, he'd make a mistake on the offensive end and try to make up for it on the defensive end, and would lead to fouls and things like that. Just him trying to, you know, do a little too much sometimes. And, you know, credit to those guys, and especially Al. I mean, against some of these bigs in the Valley, you know, like the Brodies of the world, these guys, for him to get in there and just give the effort says a lot about the kind of guy he is, being physically outmatched most nights, you know, against some of these dudes. So, no, credit to those guys for sure. And, you know, you couldn't ask more out of the bench than what we got over the weekend. And so we're definitely happy about that. But, you know, Arch Madness is behind us. And, you know, like we said at the beginning, Drake won the tournament, got the auto bid, knocking off Indiana State. And, you know, at the beginning of that game early on, I was really kind of, I don't know, kicking myself about, you know, losing the game on Saturday. Because I'm like, man, Indiana State is right for the pick in the day. You know, they're gassed, whatever, you know, because Drake, you know, got out to a fast start and it looked like maybe the trees didn't have anything left. And I was like, gosh, if we could have got here, man, we could have done the same thing to them. And then they came roaring back and made it a great game. It was a lot of fun to watch. And if you have anything to say about that game, you can. And then I'd like you to go in just kind of on your overall feelings on the season, kind of the outlook you have on some of the players, coaches, and the hope for the future.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the championship game was a classic. That was awesome. I know Drake got up early, but I always said with Indiana State, they just chuck threes, right? I mean, they're like, well, the top 10 three-point attempt teams in the country. So I was like, all right, well, they're going to keep shooting. And some of these are going to fall in because they shot atrocious in the first half. So I was like, what goes around comes around. And they came back. And, you know, Drake, to their credit, you know, from being front row, I saw a lot of, like, the veterans on Drake, Tucker, Brody, even though, you know, Saturday we kind of got in his head a little bit. But Sunday, man, he was locked in, you know, kind of telling the other guys, like Enright, the other tall center that they got, their backs up Brody.
But Ferguson, maybe?
Yeah, Ferguson, yeah. Just like, hey, guys, let's just calm down. They're going to make a lot of just like, hey, let's calm down. Let's be smart with the ball. And I was like, wow, that's veteran leadership. I was like, I think Drake's going to, you know, I think Indiana State tied even too, but I was like, I think Drake's gonna pull it out just because of that. So yeah, those are my thoughts on that game. And it better be two bid Valley. I don't see how you leave Indiana State out. I really don't.
No, I don't either. And I know that necessarily you can't sit there and say that, you know, because people talk about, turn your phone off, man. People talk about the schedule, right? Their non-con schedule. Well, man, they went to Arkansas. They went to Michigan State. Yeah. Or maybe it was Alabama, not Arkansas. I don't know if they – and anyhow, and they played without Avila in one of their games, and they were still competitive. But the thing is like, you can't get a home game against these guys at the Valley level. They won't come play you. They don't even want to play you at their place most of the time, you know, because they know that they are that there's a risk, a decent chance, a fair chance that it could be a loss against some of these top level Valley teams and mid majors in general. And so I don't know how you can, I mean, they did everything that I thought they needed to do to set their schedule up, and then just their performance throughout the season. And the Valley was the ninth ranked conference throughout the year. And, you know, yeah, you could say, well, there's a lack of quad one wins. You know, their only quad one win was in Peoria against Bradley. But beyond that, it's a really good basketball team, and they kind of like team, you know, they kind of hacked the net, right? They realized, you know, this is what moves the metric. They did those things at a high level. And I guess maybe the Valley could, hopefully the Valley doesn't set the next record of having the highest ranked team and whatever the NCAA's chosen metric is that gets left out, because that's really unfortunate, because I think that, both Indiana State and Drake can win some ball games in the tournament. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I just think it's kind of, I mean, until we didn't all know the Power Six in college basketball with the TV deals and all that runs the show, but like you're alluding to, how can these Power Six just set up easy non-conferences because they know that they're going to set up, you know, they have the horses in their conference play. But there's what I'm trying to say is that there should be a regulation for those guys to at least play like a mid-major or something in their non-conference, drop down, and because there's nothing, because they don't have to schedule us, and we're fighting like hell to try to get these games. I mean, yeah, Utah State was a great win, but like, I mean, what are they, Mountain West, right? Like, come on, then we got to go in these tournaments. So it's a lot harder. They make it a lot harder. They always have for mid-majors, and it's very, you know, to me, for especially for non-conference, it's frustrating.
Well, my opinion is, you know, with the portal like it is, the transfer portals, it's leveling the field. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do something about it, the bigger conferences. They will do something about it when the mid-majors get in here and start knocking off these teams. Because I think, if you ask me, some of the bigger conferences this year, they're down.
Yeah.
I think in their overall just quality of basketball, you know, is this down. Look at the ACC.
Yeah.
You know, I might pick two teams to go. I mean, if I'm picking, I might pick two teams out of that conference to go to the tournament. But, you know, they're going to get 5-6.
Yeah.
And based off of their notoriety, the history from years gone by, you know, nothing about what's going on today, the quality of their basketball today. Now, yes, okay, they're, before somebody gets me wrong, and yeah, the Dukes and North Carolinas, they are a little bit above. But hey, Northern Iowa had North Carolina on the ropes at halftime before they came out and, you know, got their butts chewed at halftime. Came out and decided to try to play some basketball.
Yeah.
And end up beating Northern Iowa. So, I mean, we can compete, play against these guys, you know, anywhere, anytime. But like I said, they won't come.
Yeah.
They won't come to our place. And, they, you know, like a team like a Bradley, if everybody stayed, and, you know, they won't welcome them at their place next year either.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the only chance you get most of the time is those non-exempt tournaments. You hope you catch one of those teams in the field at one of those places, and I think my dad's got a little bit of a breakdown of it here, but, you know what, our tournament, the SoCal Challenge or whatever it was, looked really good. I thought going into the season, and then like now looking back at it, I think I'll let you go over the numbers, but like the net of the teams that were participating are not impressive.
Yeah, no kidding. You look at it, there's three teams associated with the Southern Cal. There's the Tarleton State that we played at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Believe it or not, they were the best of the three.
That's crazy.
You know, 23-8. Now, granted, okay, their net was 137. UTEP's or Tulane's is 134. But what a disappointment UTEP and Tulane were.
Yep.
We were expecting both those. I even took a note for California.
Yes.
They happened to be better than all them, but not much. A 129 net. They're 13-19 in the Pac-12 for eighth. You know, Tulane is 14-16, 10th in the AAC. Mm-hmm. UTEP 16-15 for, what is it, sixth or fifth in the Conference USA. And, you know, we won that. We were going into that. I said, oh, man, you know, what a tournament. We won it. We were so excited to win that surfboard. Now you get looking, at, you know, go back at it. They were some of the worst teams we played outside of Tarleton State.
Yeah, which is that. If you would have told me that today without reading those numbers, I would have been like, oh, no way. It had to be Cal. Or, you know, not Tarleton State.
Yeah. Yeah.
That just shows how hard it is, man, for these coaches to schedule in the non-conference, because you don't have a crystal ball, so you're not going to see how these teams are ultimately going to pan out. You know, you're kind of obviously looking at the roster and how they performed last season and making your own projections. And I know that, you know, Bortles said many times that they make an effort to, you know, schedule teams that they think are going to finish at the top of their leagues, you know. And if you can get teams like that are mid-major programs, that's great for the net. And even despite some of this, I think, you know, we did benefit from obviously Utah State being a big one, but, you know, I think Vermont had a solid season as well, you know. So there's some others in there that definitely helped move the needle. And, you know, we are that stretch without Connor Hickman, the Cleveland State, Duquesne, Akron, like we're those three games away from like maybe having a different conversation today about what what's going to happen on Sunday. And I mean, of course, you probably can't drop the Evansville and Murray State games on the road, but if you wanted to be in that conversation. But I mean, we were right there. This, even with some of those numbers being as unimpressive as they are, I think the schedule was set up with the team that we had to put ourselves in position, even for an at-large, had we not won the tournament. Just, you know, we didn't get the wins we needed to get. But moving forward, we just talked about the postseason a little bit. So obviously the Braves are in strong consideration for a bid in the NIT. It seems like it's more than likely at this point in time. We'll find out, I believe, Sunday night after they announce the NCAA field. And it seems the most recent thing I saw from, I believe, Tony Seghetti did a little digging into this, and it looks like he's, a lot of outlets are projecting the Braves heading to Iowa City to take on the Hawkeyes in the first round of the NIT. That's really great for folks in Peoria because it's a really manageable, easy drive to get there. And you hope it's a winnable game, right? I mean, I think with this club, it should be. I do think that we're maybe, you know, last year, I think we really kind of, we ran out of gas, man. After winning the regular season at home, we really kind of were running on fumes through the conference tournament and kind of almost, I won't say limped into the NIT, but we were not, I don't think, at full strength mentally or physically at that point in time. And so I'm hopeful that maybe we see a little different approach this time around, which I think we will. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity. And I'm curious if you've heard anything else interesting about Bradley's NIT prospects and how you feel about it in general.
Yeah. The only other one I saw, I think the star like had a projection of like Syracuse or something, but the one, that big one I'm seeing is Iowa. And while we've been doing this, Loyola lost their A-10 game. So they're probably going to be,
that's too bad.
Yeah. They're probably going to be going to the NIT as well. But anyway, no, I mean, I just hope the guys are motivated, right? It's still, for us fans, still fun to watch. I mean, obviously the Wisconsin trip didn't go as planned as last year, and I completely agree. I thought we were out of gas, and it'd be great. It's always just fun to watch get into the postseason. Like, you know, we can't take these years for granted at all. Like,
nope.
Dark times, and, you know, right behind – you know, OG's head, you got the, and I want another year added to that NIT banner right behind him. Yep. So, yeah, it'll be good. I hope the guys are motivated and they just make it a good game and they're, you know, mentally and physically locked in, because I can totally see now, especially with NIL transfer portal, they're probably got guys talking to them this week. I hope that, you know, they just kind of stay locked in and be like, hey, we got another game to focus on, season's not over.
Yeah. If they have the vision that, I mean, I see them at for next year. I mean, man,
yeah.
I'd hate, I mean, everybody talks about, you know, you're an idiot if you want to play Bradley in the NBC tournament or what. You know, I'm like, man, people, you know, we'll be a tough team to beat. I really, really believe that, even with the loss of Miles.
Well, and I think as long as Brian Wardle's here, so there we go. There's another. We got one there. Richmond lost in the A-10 too, so there's another NIT bid. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, you know, what shakes out over all the other conference tournaments this weekend, and I mean how that dictates Bradley's chances as well as Indiana State's chances to make the NCAA tournament. And I think another interesting thing when it comes to the NIT is you never know how locked in that Power 5, Power 6 team's going to be, you know, if they even want to be there. Now, maybe that's part of the reason they made some of the changes they made to the NIT format, is because now you're going to see a lot more big time names, at least recognizable. Doesn't necessarily mean they're good at basketball, but at least recognizable brands in the NIT, because you're going to get the two highest ranked teams from the Power 6 that aren't in the NCAA tournament guaranteed, as opposed to getting these regular season champs getting the auto bid. Yep. So maybe playing more recognizable teams or whatever, it helps keep people locked in a little more, which just seems silly. You think if you're a competitor, you think you just want to compete, man, and if you have a chance to win a championship of any kind, you'd hope you're motivated to do that. So I'm excited for the Braves to have the opportunity, and I do think that as long as Brian Wardle's here, man, like, even if we have some roster turnover, which I'm sure we will to some degree, you got to feel good about where the program's headed. I think the culture and the system is in place. And even if, you know, he gets an opportunity elsewhere and moves on at some point in time, he would certainly be leaving the program in a much better place than he found it. And that's all you could ask of a coach in that situation. So feeling good about the Braves moving forward. And there is something I want to share, and I know he's in the chat, and I don't know if he's still in here, but Dave, BU Dave, Dave Weebler. Dave, if I'm pronouncing your last name incorrectly, I apologize. But we did reach out to everyone on X and saying, you know, if you wanted to hop on the show, we had a couple other people interested that had some scheduling conflicts. And Dave sent Matty Ice some a couple pages of bullet points about each player and kind of some funny personal notes from the weekend. And Dave, I want you to know that we talked. I think we're going to do like a standalone video that's going to contain like your bullet points about each player. Because I think there's a lot of decent stuff there that kind of deserves its own little own conversation. But I do want to, I am going to talk about your kind of overall summary and then your funny stories from the weekend at Arch Madness. So you did say that watching the culture and leadership on this team, they hold themselves to a very high standard, top to bottom. The team staff, Brian Wardle, Jimmy Foster, Mike Garden, Mike Bargan, Mike Black, Pat Altoff, Chris Braun, Daryl Brown, or DB Cinco, as you call him, creating a culture that lays the groundwork to make these guys respectful, mature, and good overall people, and also ballers. And I couldn't agree more. And that's really, when you're in the, especially, you know, obviously at the pro level, things change a lot. And with the NIL, the college landscape's changing. But I think when you are dealing with young people who are not professionals, whether it's college level, high school level, or below, your first task is to produce good human beings and to instill those traits, you know, those character traits that are going to make you successful in life, because there's no guarantee, you know, at that point in time that you're going to go pro and make a living playing whatever sport it is, but you're going to be a father someday, most likely, and a husband someday, most likely. And those, to do those things well, they require certain traits and qualities. And I think that you kind of have a responsibility as a coach to help instill and build those things and lead by example. And I think that our coaching staff does that as well as anybody. And that's something, no matter what happens on the floor, that's something I think all of us as fans can be extremely proud of when it comes to Bradley basketball.
For sure. Yeah. He holds players accountable every year. They don't buy into the culture in that type of way. Right. I mean,
yeah,
we, you know, the graphic, you know, we don't like that red graphic. It comes up. This person's been dismissed or decided to leave. So he doesn't just, they don't just talk it. They hold people accountable, which is awesome.
Yeah. It makes people uncomfortable sometimes, yeah. I think. And there's certainly people out there that have been critical of it at times, but you can't argue with the results, and not just the results on the floor, but by all accounts, you know, from what you see, and I understand that maybe what you see doesn't always paint the full picture, but from the public perception of a lot of these guys and kind of stories I've heard from people that are a little closer to the program and things like that, these guys are great people. They really care about each other, and there's not, you don't have sort of the prima donna ego maniacs that maybe you see at some other schools, I guess. And, you know, and that's a credit to the culture that the staff has built. And you know what, if that leads to maybe a few guys deciding this isn't a good fit for them, then so be it. Because more often than not, if you don't have the necessary character traits, you're going to cause more problems than you're going to solve over the long run. And so the sooner you can remove that problem, the better, probably, in most cases. So Dave's got some personal accolades of the season, and I do want to go through them here real quick. So one was not passing out while yelling at games, which is definitely an accomplishment. You traveled to Akron twice for Illinois State the first time, and then the Bradley game. After the Vermont game, it felt like we were unbeatable. Peoria's on fire when these guys are winning, and that's absolutely true. And I know that feeling. You know, I felt like there were several moments this year where you kind of got that feeling after a game, you know, knowing we beat a good opponent and we played well, and just being able to see the potential for this team to be really special. And that's still not over yet. There's still potential for this team to go on a great run in the NIT. And so I think that's a great point. And then you had your personal embarrassments of the season, and that is that you got so drunk that you asked Almar what language that they speak in Iceland. it's Icelandic, jackass, you put. And then moving on, you Oh, another one you put, not getting kicked out of a single arena this season, which is an accomplishment. I don't know if that's been something that you've struggled with in the past or not. Perhaps at some point you can elaborate. And then not leaving a fallen soldier behind at Ballpark Village, which is yeah. is commendable. So we appreciate that on behalf of this soldier that may have been left behind without you. So you wish Malavi, Leons, Darius, Hannah, Connor, Linky, Gonar, Bill, you the absolute best future. Peoria will always have a spot for you. Couldn't agree more. And the sun is setting on the second consecutive 22-win season. Overall, so many moments this year that made it special. It's one of those seasons that I didn't want to end. We are probable to get an NIT game, and I pray it's within proximity for me to go. Nowhere I'd rather be than supporting these guys, this team, and this school. Now let's go win the NIT. Charge on, Bradley. Great words from Dave. And like I said, he had a lot of really good words and points about each player that I think, like I said, I think we're going to put those in like a standalone video to go through it. And maybe, Dave, maybe we can even get you to come on here and go over them yourself at some point in time here over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, those are great points, Dave. And I think that most Bradley fans would agree with all those sentiments, and definitely a lot of positivity looking forward into the postseason and into the future.
Definitely. When you take the emotion, step back out of it and just look around and look what it's been for the last 7 years. It's been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So that was awesome.
Yeah, no, that was great. Thank you for that. And again, I encourage any of you at any point in time, if you've got thoughts, you can send them to the number that's at the bottom of the screen, 703-718-6314. You have the ability to leave a voicemail, or you can send text messages or whatever you need to do. You can email the show. And of course, I don't have the fancy banner behind me, but it's the Matty Ice Media Network on X, Iceman and Coach, TikTok, INC Sports, Facebook, INC Sports. And then, of course, the Matty Ice Media Network, where you guys can find shows. There's a show there called Political Football, which is some guys that talk a lot of NFL. And then Matty Ice obviously does his Fire Footwear show for those of you who are in the sneaker world, which is really interesting. So before we go, Dad, you got anything you want to, any thoughts you want to leave us with before we let Bobby go on his way?
No, I mean, outside of just anticipating where we're going to play in the NIT. And when?
Yeah, I think that's what stinks. If it's a Wednesday night game, I'm going to be in Charlotte getting ready to watch the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament. I'm flying out Wednesday morning. I'm meeting Matty Ice there. Nice. To take it in. And so looking forward to that. But Bobby, man, couldn't thank you enough for joining us. Really appreciate your perspective and insight, hashing through your experience at Arch Madness. Obviously, the fact that you were the first and original Kaboom is absolutely legendary. But I'll give you this opportunity here, man. Any final thoughts you have that you'd like to share?
No. Well, first of all, thank you guys. And thank you for doing this. Glad that, gives us something else to listen to that's kind of solely Bradley. And so, yeah, really appreciate you guys putting this together. I know it kind of started late, but I'm excited for its future, and you got to for sure have a listener. So, but no, thanks for having me on, and willing to come on anytime or whatever you guys decide. But in regards to Bradley basketball, love it. Very passionate. We have a bright future. Always stay positive. As you know, Brian Wardle's got this thing going in the right direction. Hopefully he sticks around for a long time. And yeah, let's go win the damn NIT. Hell yeah, B.U. Dave.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. And that it's something that's been Bradley basketball has been there before. You know, it's not unlike us to go on a run. And what you got there?
I witnessed one, the NIT championship against Purdue.
That's nice. Awesome.
So, again, Bobby, thank you very much. Thank you for everyone who tuned in or anyone that's listening to this later. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to this. And we're super happy that we're able to put all this together and share all this with you and share in this wonderful basketball program together. And yeah, we started late this season, but we've got a whole off season ahead of us where I think we're going to be able to talk about recruiting and obviously roster shakeup as it transpires. Looking forward to the non-conference schedule. We can maybe get some people on here and talk about a little Bradley history and their own personal stories. Maybe we can find somebody a little older than even the OG to get on here and talk about some of the glory days. And what's that?
Yeah, if there's anybody out there, any listeners who actually has even more info on recruiting, you know, or possible recruits, people that have offers have been extended to, hey, give us a you know, send us the message. Love to talk to you, you know, and maybe bring you on and let's get some more insight, because that's something I try and follow, see what everybody, you know, might be hearing and go from there.
For sure. And like, I mean, we're fans, so we're going to approach it from a fan perspective. But obviously, you know, those of you that maybe are a little more in the know, we don't expect you to disclose any information you may be privy to that the public's not ready for, or that the program doesn't want out there. We're not looking for any of that stuff. I'm not looking to break any news here by any stretch. But, you know, definitely if there's things that are open for fair speculation, we're here for it. And yeah, that being said, I want to thank you all again. Make sure, like I said, like and subscribe on YouTube and all the other social media places. Those of you that are here have been here a million times. So thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Bobby. And we really appreciate everything. And I hope you guys have a wonderful evening. And this was Braves Talk.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on INC Sports are those of Matt Frates, Brad Powell, and their guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. INC Sports is exclusively owned by Matt Frates and Brad Powell and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.